Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. I'm Nia Patton and this is my co-host,
Natalie.
And we have a guest.
Hello.
We're joined by Julian Sass. So Dr. Julian Sass has a PhD in biomathematics and statistics and currently is Director of Research and Development and Education for a skincare brand. Now, Julian also creates skincare education content for his social media channels, namely on the topics of sunscreen and skincare ingredients. We love his sunscreen reviews and we've brought him here today to ask him a load of questions. I so love your sunscreen reviews. We were just talking about them, but specifically your sunscreen database. And I'm trying to figure out how we came across.
I don't know. You told me.
I did, didn't I? Yeah. And so, I mean, you're really well known now amongst the, you know, skincare content creator circles. I feel like you have been for ages, but not least because of your amazing SPF database. And it is awesome, isn't it? I mean, how long is that like a labor of love for you? How long have you been working on that?
Yeah, so it's been, oh gosh, I think August 2021 is when I started that. It really was born out of nothing but frustration, kind of like my content in general, because I think that as I was trying things out and I was trying to learn, like, okay, I've learned something about sunscreen, but how do I share it in a way that's easily searchable? Because I know, like, on YouTube, for example, I could do it on YouTube, I could do it on Instagram, but those platforms aren't, like, search friendly.
Right.
Like, if you're looking for a certain type of product, it's hard to, like, find, okay, like, this is this product and this is that product. I want this to be matte, this to be dewy, whatever.
Yeah.
So what I did was, like, okay, I can catalog this by all these different features and things and now have it be searchable as best as I can do. There's things I want to do with it. But yeah, it's been difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult to get it started up. It took me a long time to get everything set up properly. But yeah, it's been great. It's blown up in a way that I never expected.
But I think that's part of the reason that I find your content, like your Instagram content especially, so so sort of easy to, like, you come across so nicely as well. And so, and we were just saying this before, a lot of people who review and find it hard to say nice things about certain products because they're not good, you do it in such a way that's actually really kind, but there's no getting away from the fact that, you know, if you are reviewing a product harshly, you're doing it in an extremely fair way. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's different. So basically, you know, what you have an issue with is a lot of sunscreens that are mineral that say they have leave no white cast. And we find a lot of failings there, don't we?
I think kind of across the board, it's been pretty bad. I think that for me, I found two that are, this is fairly tolerable. Okay. Not even good. Ooh, like, it's good. Just, okay, I could probably wear this and not look absolutely crazy, but that's two out of God knows how many minerals I tried.
Right, yeah.
So chemical sunscreen is the thing that you use.
That's where I'm at for the most of the time. Yeah. Even some of the chemical ones, because I know that, you know, for some of the chemical filters that we don't have in the States, like, can be a little bit casty, even then. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I made my first question really long, but actually I just want to say, like, have you always been really careful about sunscreen and looking after your skin, you know? When did you sort of really start taking care of your skin?
It was definitely not always. Like, I started kind of sort of getting into it, like high school, okay. like in 11th grade, 12.
Oh my gosh.
And then,
wow. I wish we'd started that yet.
And then it was not great.
Okay.
And it was pretty much not great all the way up through university. And then when I was in graduate school was I was like, okay, I've got like acne, but also dry skin. I got to figure all this stuff out.
Right.
So yeah, it wasn't until like early to mid 20s that I was starting to get like, okay, now I'm really, really into this and I've got to figure out how all this stuff needs to work.
Right.
Yeah. So no, has not been forever.
Right.
So acne was your issue then?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like combination of like acne and dry skin. And I had lots of different phases.
Okay.
Like it was like, I was really heavily focused on like Lush when I first got started. And that was,
there's no judgment.
It was a journey. Tried that. I mean, I feel like we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, here are the masks that we've just freshly made. You have to keep them in the
natural,
fridge. Yeah.
So they'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good time. Things that smelled great, but did they help with my acne?
There was a salt scrub, wasn't there?
Oh, from
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was called Ocean Salt. Oh, yeah. Ocean something. The biggest hunks of salt that just rub down your face.
Like a little scalpel, just making little slices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, I had Ocean Salt. I was like, oh my gosh, my skin feels great. I just wrote on my whole body, and I just felt like, oh, my skin hurts. That's good, right?
That's going to be good. Yeah.
But that's amazing, though. I mean, so you've really been, okay, albeit, you know, with a little bit of Lush, kind of looking after your skin for a long time. I mean, have you done that? Have you been doing that, Nia? Would you say you've always been into skincare?
After the whole Thailand and my skin coming off in Thailand, because I fell asleep on the beach for 2 hours and I woke up and the next day my skin started sliding around.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So after that, I've been very, very concerned. I was a bit scared then. So I've been wearing sunscreen, you know, maybe on a daily basis since 25.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a newbie then. I would say I've been looking after my skin for about 6 years. Yeah. And that was just from constant bullying by Nia.
But yeah.
Saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing to your face?
Just chasing people around with altruism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, my question was, have you ever forgotten to put sunscreen on a sunny day and then had a panic attack?
Never like a panic attack.
Oh.
I have definitely forgotten when I was first getting started. So this was, okay, like when I was first getting started, trying to get into the habit of it. And at the same time, I had just started using a retinoid. So I was using adapalene for acne.
Yeah.
And so my skin's peeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm having a terrible time. But at the same time, I'm also like working in a tutoring center. Mm-hmm. So I'm like tutoring kids in math. And so I realized I've forgotten sunscreen and my skin was just getting drier by the minute.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help kids figure out how to do calculus while my face is like literally peeling in front of these kids. And I had to just play it like, everything's fine. It's totally normal.
I know that one. Like, because I use tretinoin and sometimes like I'll get home from work and a bit piece of my eyelid is flapping around.
Yeah, and you think, why has no one told me that? Yeah. Isn't that really strange? And it's really, I think it's even more embarrassing when people know that you're really into skincare. It's like, yeah, I'm really into my skincare. And I get home and I was like, oh, my neck's totally peeled. It's completely
peeled.
They've
got a beard of skin flakes.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, so you live in North Carolina, right?
Yes, I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. So in terms of like UV index, what is it, you know?
It's like, like highest maybe like 7.
Okay.
Like it's not like super like 11 sunny beating down all the time.
Right.
Like we have all four seasons here. Like it gets sunny, it gets cold and cloudy. But I'm never like, oh, I'm going outside and I'm really like feeling my skin tingle or anything like that.
Okay.
So I'm not under like massive risk here where I am at least.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And so what we love about your sunscreen database and all the reviews, you literally are trying sunscreens from all over the world. So you've got a lot of dealers. You've got some people that send you. Nadine Baggett being one of my favourites. I consider myself a dealer because I've dealt you one yes. sunscreen. But what are your faves? What are your favourite filters or, you know, favourite types?
Favourite types. Oh, okay, I'm glad that I have all these right next to me so I can reference. So yes, so you know, podcasts are famously visual medium, but right next to me is a massive drawer of all of my like favourite sunscreens that I keep with me on hand.
Awesome.
So probably my favorite is actually a combination sunscreen.
Okay. Which
shocked me.
Oh.
So it is the UV Pro Sun Fluid from Isanox.
Oh, okay. Where's that from?
This is from South Korea.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
And so SPF 50 plus, PA 4 plus, water resistant. And I like it because, like, not only is it, like, you know, high protection, it's water resistant.
Okay.
It's 100 mil, which for me, which is great because I travel and I don't like having a checked bag. This is the exact size that I can bring with me on trips.
Oh.
And it's not super shiny. It's not super greasy. And it's, like, got a nice slim package. So it easily fits into my toiletry bag. So it's just, it's heavenly. This is my favorite, like, outdoor, everyday, like, face sunscreen.
Okay. Yeah. Because some of them come in such tiny little bottles, you know.
I have so many. Like, disappointing. I have one here. This is 35 mil.
Yeah.
And that's me. It's criminal.
Yeah. It is. How long is that going to last?
It's so silly, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, this is, what, a week, maybe a week and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. Because I saw on your Instagram, you found a brand that has a really handy measuring
thing
on the lid. I was like, that is amazing.
Yes,
that was incredible. So that is the Naturium sunscreen from my friend Susan Yara.
Okay.
And that was great when that happened, because I think that's one of the things that's so hard, because everyone's face is different, and it's hard for like regulatory bodies to say, oh, this is how much you should use.
Yeah.
And so when brands kind of take it upon themselves to say, all right, we know that arms are about this long and things are about this long, so we can give you a sort of estimate as to how those will go. So the Naturium sunscreen has a little divot in the lid where you can pump into it, and it's a quarter teaspoon.
Yeah.
So a quarter teaspoon for your face, another quarter teaspoon for your ears and your neck, and then you're pretty much good.
Oh, that's so cool. Because you can now get Naturium here. I still haven't tried it.
No, I haven't tried it.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's at, I think it's at Space NK.
Right.
And then I know that the products that aren't at Space NK, you can get shipped there through SokoGlam.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to try. And also the price point's really good as well for Naturium, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, here it's at like a drugstore, essentially, which is great. Like, it's really great for that price point, and they're not skimping on the formulas.
Yes.
So,
Oh, that's awesome. So, I hate to bring you back to talking about mineral sunscreens, but why do you think, because obviously the mineral sunscreens that you're trying and reviewing, you know, you're really polite in saying, listen, they know what I do. They know that I'm basically going to put this on my face and, you know, neck and head, and basically show the world and the camera what this looks like on my skin. So why do you think that people, like companies, are still developing not only these types of mineral sunscreens that just aren't so good, but insisting on still saying no white cast when they can't really mean it?
Yeah, it is a mystery to me, to be honest. I think a part of it is not knowing how much people should be using.
I see.
Because here's the thing. Like, the people who know how much you should be using are the people who are, like, running the tests, not necessarily the people who work at the brand.
Okay.
So they'll send it off. They'll run the test, come back, it's like, great. But then when they do the model shoots and all those things, and they have the thing that we've all seen, like the one swipe right on the cheek.
Dab, dab, dab. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
And so they kind of control that narrative. So I think it's you know, it's like a lack of education on, you know, their part for just not knowing. I don't. Yeah. I'm hoping that there's nothing like, oh, we know it's not, no way, because we're going to say it anyway.
Yes.
I'm hoping it's not that.
Nobody could be that stupid. That's what I think. Yeah. I just think, how like could
the,
you?
It's the marketing department who just concentrate on marketing and they don't think about those things.
Exactly. There's a lot of times a lot of disconnect between like research and development and marketing. Mystery to me.
Absolutely.
But I mean, there are some that are fairly tolerable, but even then, calling it like invisible or anything like is absolutely a stretch.
Absolutely.
So we saw your drawer, your beautiful drawer full of lovely things. So that can't be your only container full of sunscreen.
It is the one that I keep of the things that I use.
Yeah.
So I reuse so many. And so all of my favorites that I think are like either too shiny or too mattifying for me, because I like it. It's like a very natural finish. Those I do keep. They're in a separate drawer. Just one drawer at the moment because I donate so many and I get friends and things like that. Because like, I know I'm not going to use them all. Like there are some that I'll use on my body, or if there's something that's okay, I don't love this, but I know who would love this a lot more, and so I'll give it to them. But everything that I rate like highly, I do keep until I found someone who will enjoy it more than me. Or if I have it for, I think 6 months is where I try, and it's like, okay, I haven't found this for someone. It's been 6 months. Okay, I need to.
That's very disciplined. That's impressive.
Yeah. I'm trying not to hoard too much. Yeah. Now, my other skincare, don't talk to me about that, because that's a whole other story.
You've got, that is amazing. So you've got, you give them to friends and you give them to charities?
Yes. Yeah. So there's a local women's shelter here where I live, and there's also a company that's based out of Washington State called Project Beauty Share.
Okay.
So you can send cosmetics to them and then they will disseminate it throughout the country at women's shelters. Which I think is great. And they take lots of different cosmetics. They're always asking for like toothpaste and mascara and lots of different things.
Yeah. So, you know, just wanted to highlight, there are some charities in Britain that do the same thing. So you can take your, I think it's only unopened things that you can take to these beauty banks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's beauty banks in Boots, Sally Hughes, I think.
Sally Hughes,
has one. Beautybanks.org.uk, and there is also toiletriesamnesty.org, the Hygiene Bank, which can be accessed via Boots. And there's one in Cardiff as well, but they're not accepting anything.
Are they not?
No, they're full of stuff. Anyway, that's a good thing to do, because everyone, you know, people need stuff at the moment.
They do. And also, I don't know, I still keep getting Christmas times. I will get, you know, my mum will get me one of those big boxes of like stuff for the bath, but it's always got a really gross, like oily body scrub in there that I know I'll just really not like.
Ooh.
And will take ages to clean off the bath. You know, one of those?
Yes.
not using that ever. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think we've got anything that would even take something that's
been
opened,
right? Be opened. No.
Project Beauty Share will take open things that are at least like 3/4 full, but like nothing in jars, obviously, because once you've got your hands in there, can't do that.
Sure.
Like open and like slightly used is okay, but like they're not taking, like they're not gonna take like an open lip balm, for example, because that's mental.
Yeah,
no.
And that's so true. Talking again sort of about, you know, the filters and the lovely different formulations of sunscreens that you can get in, you know, Korea and Indian sunscreens in the EU. Back to good old US then, and FDA approval. Do you see this changing at all? The fact that, you know, the FDA sort of changing their outmoded stance on their approval process, or because it just seems so outmoded, doesn't it?
It is definitely outmoded, which is so interesting because I feel like, like a lot of people in the industry see Europe as like, okay, like you all have such a stronger regulation when it comes to sunscreen, because like you, like there's like this registry that all cosmetic brands have to go through. Like there's this really like tight process, but because in essentially everywhere else except for Australia,
yeah,
sunscreens are cosmetics and yes, not drugs. So same kinds of tests, but in terms of the ingredients to be approved, it has to go through a much longer process because there are drugs here for prevention of skin cancer. So, because the problem is all the red tape. It's all of the clinical studies that has to be done. And like the problem when it comes down to it is animal testing, which is bananas because we have drugs here. And to get a drug approved in the States, you have to have these preclinical tests, which do include animal studies to show that your things work before you can test them on people. Because good enough alternatives for all these different kinds of drugs that are like not on animals, that are in like cells in a dish or whatever, are just not developed yet, which is just a frustrating limitation. So I know that Tinosorb S is in the process of going through like some alternate testing that they're saying, okay, this is close enough to what we know about these animal studies so that we can get through this process without having to do it. But because these filters are developed, you know, in the EU, animal testing is banned there, and the labs that make that filter can't run the tests.
Yeah.
So it's just it's gridlock, essentially. So I'm hoping that if this gets through all of these alternate tests and they kind of plead their case to the FDA, then this will kind of open the floodgates for us to have access to all those new filters. It won't be for like another 2 or 3 years if it does go through. But here's hoping. Our hopes aren't high, but we can hope.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's mad.
Oh, yeah. And so I have another question. We've spoken briefly about Nadine. I really wanted to ask about Nadine Baggett. She just seems like the most fun. So Nadine Baggett, for those who don't know, I mean, she's been beauty editor, isn't she?
Publications.
Yeah, she's just awesome. She's so personable, isn't she? But she talks a lot about makeup and skincare and sunscreen. And you guys did an interview. I think you can find it on YouTube, can't you? Yes. Can't remember how long ago it was now?
It wasn't, what was it, last year?
Oh, okay. So semi
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a while ago. Yeah. So we did an Instagram live, which was great. It's talking about sunscreens, like my like top 10 sunscreens. And then when I was in London last summer, I got to meet her.
Right.
And she is a wonderful person. She's so funny. The other thing that I didn't expect, because I've only seen her on video, is how tall she is.
Really?
She is like a gazelle.
No, because she looks really, she's tiny, as in like she looks petite, doesn't she? Do you know what I mean? She just
She's a tall lady.
Whoa.
I when I saw her walking up, I was like, that can't be her.
Is that
like
you?
She is so tall, and she's like in all black always, but is just like the nicest person.
Yeah.
Like she was so great. We had a great dinner. So personable. Like knows so much about the industry overall.
Yeah.
She's a great, great resource and just like a wonderful person.
Yeah. I find like she's quite similar to Karen Hirons, and that they've really tapped into, they are so influential to a huge number of women who I think up until, you know, about 5-6 years ago would have bought everything from the counter of a department store skincare brand. Do you know what I mean?
Like Clarins.
So, exactly. Clarins was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
So those women are so influential, and that's what I love about Nadine as well. She will, you know, espouse the drugstore skincare, you know, way more than she would a sort of, you know, a high-end brand, if you like. Yeah, she's super down to earth. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's great. And I think it's so nice because I feel like right now, with kind of where social media is right now, like all of the skincare people are like 25 years old and have never had a wrinkle. And I feel like that's just not relatable to a lot of people.
No. Like, I can't stand listening to Hiram or whatever it's
Oh, hi. Oh, yes.
I don't
want
to listen to him. I'm like, you child. How dare you?
But he clearly has a huge market, doesn't he? Yeah. Of like of that age, which is fine. You can have that. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, for our age group, yeah. I don't want to have skin like a glazed donut. You know that whole like glazed donut skin?
Yeah. The glazed donut trend.
Like, do you remember the whole like glossy trend? It's like, no, I want to be able to like, you know, touch my face and it feel like
gross.
So that's where I think, you know, people like Caroline and Nadine, and that's they're so honest with it as well, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like they are both very unfiltered, Caroline especially, with her reviews about products, which I think is refreshing for a lot of people, because I know that for a lot of people there where it's like, oh, this person's an influencer, we can't trust them.
Yes.
And there is definitely some of that, because obviously when you're a content creator, especially if you're doing it full time and your only income comes from your relationship with brands, you don't want to step on anybody's toes.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have to make sure that like you're being honest with your audience about your products. And I think that, you know, obviously every influencer is not like this. And if you think someone is like this, you shouldn't be following them.
No,
but
sure.
Even for me, like I know that everyone says this, is like I've turned down so many sponsorships and so many opportunities. Cause it's like, I can't like advertise this to my audience and give like a good enough review where I think that you all would benefit from it.
Yes.
I know that feeling of discomfort. Like, you just feel, I feel uncomfortable about this, and I'm going to say no, even though it's money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And like, there are things that, you know, brands have asked me, it's like, oh, we're going to send you this like anti-aging product and you can use it for a week or two. And then we'll sponsor your post talking about how it's worked for your skin. I'm just like wait a minute.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah. A week. And also anti-aging. I'm 28. I'm not the best person to talk about this product at all.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still a baby. Oh, 28. Oh,
28.
Yeah.
I like being 43 though.
Yeah, well. We were just saying this the other day. Isn't that really strange?
Yeah.
Like your face. I don't know if you've what's the name of the lovely lady, and she's a dermatologist in New York. Oh, the name will come to me. This also happens when you're 42.
You can't remember
forget people's names. But she was saying how much your face changes twice.
Yeah.
It changes in your late 20s to early 30s. And it changes again
in your 40s.
Yeah, in your late 30s to early 40s. Mm. I quite like my early 40s face.
Yeah,
now.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very different.
Yeah.
It's a different
face. Yeah. So you can look forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I can't wait.
So you've talked about, I want to ask your top three desert island sunscreens. This is really difficult. So you've mentioned the South Korean one there. So that can be one in your pick.
Yes. What? That is the that's the Equinox. That's my like that would be like my face one.
Mm. Yeah.
Like all time. The body one. Mm. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna say it's this one from Eucerin.
Uh-huh.
Sensitive Protect Dry Touch.
Amazing.
And I know that we'll talk more about Eucerin later.
Yeah.
But this one I think is great because one, it's massive. Like I brought, I think, three of these home when I went to Boots. Like, I felt so bad because I was literally in the sunscreen section at Boots. I took every single thing off of the shelf. Everything from the Roche-Posay, everything from Eucerin, all the Pitsbouin stuff. I took everything.
They must have been like, who is that guy?
This is weird.
It was crazy. And the funny thing was, at the time, I did not realize that, like, when you did the self-checkout, there weren't bags.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
I have to carry them all in my arms.
I'm so glad that I happened to have, like, my backpack with me, but I felt like a thief as I'm just shoving all these things into my backpack.
When were you over here? Was that recently?
Yeah, I was over there last summer, mid-May to mid-June.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, at least it was in the summertime, because that would look so even stranger if you were visiting, like, November.
Just stealing loads of sunscreen.
What are you doing? Yeah. UV index is -5.
That's where all the time.
How much do you love Boots, by the way? Isn't Boots
I obviously have like my very like American blinders on, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like there's just so many things that I just don't have access to in the States. And like most of the like products that I feel like are like good here are just not at the drugstore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially for like sunscreen, which I find frustrating.
Yeah.
But like there's so many good products at booths, just like across the board.
Yeah.
And I remember like I've been to like some of the bigger ones. I was like, this is three stories.
Yeah.
What is this? It's so I love Boots, so I can't wait to go back and read it some more. Very excited.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I want to go to Korea really badly.
Yeah, we both want to go for a trip.
I know that when I do go, I can't be trusted because I'm going to come back with so much stuff. Like, I'm going to need to bring an extra suitcase, like, just for all the products I'm going to bring
home.
That's the
plan, an empty suitcase, and I'm off to Korea.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, so this...
Number two.
Yeah, so Eucerin Sensor Protect Dry Touch would probably be my like body favorite.
Okay,
water resistant, smells nice.
Cool.
And then for reapplication, have it down
this is
here.
This is a good separation of categories. I like it.
Yes, okay. That, I've got it.
Was that a fanny pack?
Yes, so I have...
See, we call them bum bags. Still call it a fanny pack, though. I like it.
Okay, so it is the AHC Masters Air Rich Sunstick.
Oh,
another one
yes.
from South Korea.
Wow, look at that.
I saw this. You were talking about this on your stories the other day. So this is another one I'm going to put a wholesale order in.
Yeah, this is great because, okay, I feel like with a lot of... So this is also like a water-resistant sunscreen stick. And I feel like with a lot of sticks... They're really, really shiny and fleecy. Like, I remember there's one from the HelioCare that's like a tiny stick, and you put it on, smells like that cinnamon thing, but it's so shiny.
Right. Mm.
But this, like, I can put this on top of anything, and like, it's not shiny, greasy, or anything.
Beautiful.
Like, I don't look like greasy at all.
Wow. No.
So it's great. I mean, obviously, again, podcast, famously a visual medium.
Yeah.
So
he's showing us and it does look great.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Yeah,
so.
It's wonderful. Like, and the nice thing about this is, again, because it's water resistant, if I'm sweating, I can just put it on right over that and not be worried about it. I can still feel it like staying on. So those are going to be my three like all time favorites. So face, body, and one for reapplication.
Oh, that's great. So good.
Yeah, I've got one similar to that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like got a really strong rose smell to it. And that's a bit...
Is it a Korean one?
Korean one,
that's white. Yeah, I've got one and it's very chrysanthemum-y.
Yeah.
But the actual texture is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, really, really nice. Because you're friends with Ramon, aren't you? Who?
Yes.
So he's gorgeous.
Yeah, isn't he? But he's just... Like, you know, co-created a
stick. Yeah, a sunstick with Beauty of Joseon.
Yeah.
Beauty of Joseon, which is incredible. So proud of him. I also met Ramon for the first time when I was in London over the summer. Just as gorgeous in person. Like, truly. Because I feel like on camera, it's like, he can't look like this in real life.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But 100%. 100% does. Yeah.
It looks flawless.
But it looks amazing. Like, the stick looks beautiful. Really,
yeah,
really
it
nice.
Is, it is a gorgeous stick. Like, and it's not shiny. Like, it gives, like, a nice matte finish, which is really, really nice. And I remember when he was talking to me about it, he was like, I'm worried because of the mattifying agents. Is it going to be white? And, like, it's a tiny bit white on me. But, like, if you just rub it in, it's totally fine.
Amazing.
So on most people, it'll be absolutely great.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to try that.
Yeah.
What's
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Next question.
We were talking a little bit about Deciem. So are you sad about Hylamide saying goodbye?
That, when they posted that they were discontinuing all their other brands, I messaged my person who does the PR in North America at Deciem, and I said, this is a joke, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it was on April Fool's Day, and I was like, this is a joke.
That's right, yeah.
Oh my gosh, was it?
It was, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so when they announced this, I was like, this absolutely cannot be real. But I was like, oh my gosh, there were things.
Joke. Yeah.
It was, and then when he's like, oh no, it's true, it's happening. I'm like, what? Ooh. Yeah, it was crazy. The Hylamide, the hair products, that like shop fragrance. Yeah. Like it's
so
all.
So many nice things. Chemistry brand hands.
Oh, chemistry brand. Yeah. That was okay, incredible. Somewhere here. Oh my gosh, where is it? Here we go.
Yeah.
Still have.
Yeah.
My chemistry brand hand cream.
It's beautiful, isn't
it's
it?
It's really the best hand cream I've ever tried.
Yeah. It is so nice. Yeah. And I'm gutted. Well, what I expect is going to happen, though, is they'll probably, like, relaunch some of these and make them a little bit simpler for the ordinary or a little bit fancier and put them in Neod is what I'm praying for.
Because sub-Q skin. Yeah, sub-Q eyes and sub-Q skin.
Because the ordinary new eye serum is not the same.
No.
At all.
No.
It makes my eyes sting.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, and the sub-Q eyes was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was such a lovely formula.
I ordered 5.
Did you really?
Yeah, because there was a 50% sale, so I ordered 5.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's good. And the sub-Q mist was beautiful as well. All of it.
Yeah. What I'm really hoping is that someone who used to work in the lab there will just take all those formulas and just run away with them and then launch their own company. It's like, this formula might be similar to the one.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Brandon?
No, I did not. I did not get the chance to meet Brandon. Because I feel like when he passed away was before I really kind of like got into skincare.
Okay.
But I've watched Nadine's interview with Brandon and some other things that he's done. I was like, this guy was just like, had so many incredible ideas.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy, like how Deciem in general has just totally changed the industry.
Yes.
Which is showing what you can do with things that are really affordable.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the textures are kind of off, but, like, there are so many products that, like, work really well for a lot of people. And you can do it in a way that's not super expensive and not super complicated. I mean, obviously, they're going to be the people who are going to get every single serum and try and figure out how to layer them all.
Yeah.
But I feel like they really had the industry kind of turn a corner and like, okay, we got to figure out what we're doing to compete with these Deciem people.
Yeah, it was mad. It really turned things, changed everything.
You forget how much, I think, don't you? Really?
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like every brand now has a niacinamide and zinc serum or a hyaluronic acid B5 serum. And there are some that are so clearly and blatantly trying to copy them to have their success. But yeah, it's been a crazy change that they've done. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of like how much that will take hold and how long that will last.
Yeah.
I think people, like you saying, it used to be about you go into a department store and you get sold an anti-aging serum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it really turned things around and the focus on people educating themselves.
That's it.
Became more important.
Yeah. All of people learning about ingredients, learning about, okay, what does this do? What does that do? Instead of just, well, it's anti-aging.
Yes.
Well, then great. That's what I'll get. So I think they've really just kind of made people just more aware and really started like that more like science forward and educating about formulas and all these things that brands just weren't doing up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, it drove people together on the internet. So people had to learn stuff because it was confusing. So they had to find out and they had to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And that still is, obviously, you know, that still is the way for pretty much most of Neod. I mean, reading Neod's description is hilarious, isn't it? It's like, oh, come on.
It is.
I still use it and put it all over my face, but come on. Like, why is that?
It is so interesting, kind of like, because like I work on the R&D side and I'm so familiar with like reading data sheets from suppliers about the different ingredients. I can understand what they're you're doing. And just like, okay, this is what this says, and here's how I'm going to rephrase it for consumers. But I mean, it is definitely a journey to try and.
It's comical, isn't it? Because it's so fancy.
Like, it's kind of funny because you know that they know how complex this sounds, and it's very intentional.
Completely. It's like having a laugh with it. And to be honest, I don't care. Modulating glucosides is a treat for my skin.
Oh, so I love it.
Like, that's one thing I think. Modulating glucosides and SDSM is something that there will be backups of that. There will never be down to one product.
Yeah, it makes you panic a little bit.
Absolutely panic by those things.
Yeah, those are great. I love survival.
Yeah.
Just because of like the antioxidants and like I like the smell, which comes from one of the like raw materials that's like derived from like peppers.
Okay.
It's just like, okay.
So it's actually smelled like peppery. Does it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, It's a little bit spicy, I think is how I would call it.
Yeah, because for me, modulating glucosides has got fresh tobacco smell.
To me, it smells like the top of a baby's head or something.
No way!
You know when you give it a sniff.
Really?
Yes!
For me, it's like very botanically.
Oh.
Yeah. And a really pleasant.
Yeah, I get something just like pleasant and a little bit like fresh from modulating glucosides. Yeah. I think that I personally like, I don't know what gives it that smell because I haven't gone through everything that's in a while, but I love it. It's just so nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's lovely.
So do you like skin fragrance in your skincare, don't you?
I am a fan sometimes.
Yeah.
So I just made a post about this because I think that people are sort of up in arms about fragrance, and understandably if you like have an allergy and things like that. But for me, I think that it just adds to the experience. But the problem with that is that, you know, if there's a product that you like what it does for your skin, but it smells like rose, chrysanthemum, and lavender.
Yeah.
And you don't like floral smells. It's like, well, I can't.
It's annoying.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it's just like too strong, especially in like a moisturizer, and it's like you smell it all day. Yeah. It's just like, okay, I have a headache. I don't love that.
No.
So I think it requires a balance where like it's a part of the experience, but it can't stay for that long. Or like it's in a cleanser. It's like, okay, this is just a nice thing while I'm rinsing my face.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I do think that there should be like options in for some brands where like you don't have fragrance, because I feel like when you're in like the luxury thing, like there's not going to be fragrance free La Mer. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
But I feel like if you're, you know, at the drugstore or on the high street and it's like, okay, this whole brand is fragrance, and it's just like, okay, but like there are people who would love to use that, but who can't because they're allergic or because it's irritating or whatever. Yeah. So I think it's a bummer when that's the only option. But am I opposed to it as a concept? No.
There's some things I can cope with. Like if there's fragrance in a good sunscreen, I'm like, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll deal. But
what do you find that it does to your skin then when you're using something?
It stings,
with
like it stings like really? Around the corner of my nose or you know, like around my eyes or something like that. Yeah, a bit of sting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah, I think that with sunscreen, especially if it's like strong, then I think it can really just like cause a problem, especially if it's like water resistant and it's just going to stay there.
Yeah.
And it's just in your nose.
That's the thing as well, like after reapplication, and you can just smell that.
So I think that's the thing.
You've got to put it on loads of times and it stinks. It's not good, is it?
Yeah, so I think that if it's one that you like for all three of my like favorites, they all have fragrance, but they're all smells that I like.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just such a pain. Yeah. And like even when I'm doing reviews, and if there's a smell that I don't personally like, I don't ding a product for that. Like, oh gosh, what's the brand? Isdin.
Oh, right,
all of their sunscreens have a really strong floral smell.
Oh, God.
Which to me, it's so overpowering.
Really?
And it's just hard to like, use it.
Yeah, because they're really high factors, aren't they?
They're all like 50 plus for everything. And it's just like, I would love to use this. Beautiful textures. But then it's just, you're getting hit in the face with a rose.
For me, it's like nothing to do with my skin so much. I just don't like things interfering if I'm wearing a scent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if I'm wearing a scent.
Yeah.
So this is something that I am now experiencing because I'm like getting into fragrance just a little bit.
What was that one that you were talking about? You were talking about one the other day saying you loved it. You could smell it on your clothes at the end of the day and someone had commented it. I can't remember what it was, but you were saying.
Oh my gosh. No. So you couldn't remember what it was because I didn't say what it was. Let me look up the name.
Gosh.
All right. Here we go. So this is first reveal of this, so congratulations.
This is exciting. We got a scoop.
Yes, so it is from Khamra, so Khamrah Latafa.
Okay.
Ew.
Yes, so it's very sweet. It's very vanilla. It's very desserty.
Okay.
Which is what I tend to like. It's definitely like a winter, fall, cold weather sort of fragrance because, like I can still smell it and it smells like apple pie.
Oh, my God. Sounds amazing.
it's great. I love it. I'm now on the hunt for something that's more like fresh and like spring summer because I mean I can't be smelling like apple pie in the middle of June.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't mind that smelling like apple pie all year long. I love that. Yeah. So that's it. Like once you've got fragrance, I just find. I don't know, I'm overwhelmed really easily by scents of things.
Because you could just get several different smells from your laundry.
That's
and
it.
Then your moisturizer and your sunscreen and your perfume. It's just a bit.
And then you're just this whole cacophony of smells.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you spent quite a bit of money on a fragrance, an actual fragrance as well, I'd like that not to be messed with.
Yeah, with some rose.
I'd like to smell that, you know? Yeah. That's amazing. I'm going to look that up.
Yes, I'm trying to find like fragrance-free like versions of all of my like favorites so that I can have my fragrance be the thing and then just like, oh, I've got my sunscreen on. It's not going to, you know, give me any issues with anything.
Yeah.
Mm, totally. Yeah. So one of the other drawbacks of sunscreen that lots and lots of people moan about, but we can't really pin it down what the factor is. What causes eye sting? We don't know.
I wish I could tell you. Yeah. Truly, I wish I could because it's all so personal. I know that for some people, it's different sunscreen filters, but like this filter will be fine in one formula and not in a different formula. And it's like, what is happening? Mm. What's going on? And I mean, I think that what a lot of people kind of don't realize because they're not like in the industry is so you might see an ingredient that's on like, I don't know, octocrylene, for example.
Yeah.
But there are going to be tons of different companies that make octocrylene.
Right.
Like in different solutions and different suspension combined with different things. And so it's not the same experience for every single version of that same ingredient.
Yeah.
So you might have thought that you've like pinned it down to a filter. But it might not be that filter. It might, but it might not. And it's usually a lot of these like older filters, like oxybenzone, avobenzone, octocrylene. The newer filters, like everything in the Tinosorb family, all the Mexerals from L'Oreal, those don't have nearly the history of causing eye sting.
Okay, oh, that's interesting.
They're like, so a lot of the times with like European formulas, like I've tried so few European formulas that have stung my eyes. Same with like the Korean formulas.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of the times it's the filters. There are also other things in the formula that could be happening, like all the inactive ingredients. So I wish I had a good answer. Yeah. I truly do.
Yeah, we don't know either.
Yeah, because it's in like a separate sort of category because there are standard tests for like eye irritation, for example. Like you can put a sunscreen through testing. There's in vitro tests, there's tests with an ophthalmologist that will say that it is safe to use around the eyes, which is a separate thing than, when this gets into your eyes, it causes some stinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a frustrating nut to crack. And I think because it's so individual, we don't have like a pin on like what the thing is.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we can figure that out someday. But as of right now.
No, because, I'll use Altruist face fluid. And literally, I did it in a video. I put it in my eyeball, really. And it was fine.
Where is... Yeah,
and
I can't wear it.
She can't do it. And she can't have it.
Really?
Yeah.
But then none of the... You know, Korean or Japanese sunscreens that I have tried and sell, give me Isting, and that's the reason I will, you know, choose those, which ones to sell. But then, so a friend of mine who bought, you know, 4 or 5 from my store said, oh, you know, thanks for them, but I really don't think I'll be using them again because they cause my eyes to sting. And I was so disappointed because I was like, I know now that you're probably not going to wear sunscreen as much as because you're put off because
you
the three that you tried.
Three sunscreens caused...
That caused her eyes to sting. And I was thinking, oh no. And there were ones that were like, oh man, nobody's eyes sting from this. What is
what
that? What could it be?
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, yeah, it's really, like you said, it's so personal. And you know, you put it on your reviews, don't you, on your on the database, like, none for me, no eyes sting.
Exactly. I always say like, nothing for me, but it's personal. Because even the ones that will sting my eyes and I'm like, okay, this is a ding for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it could work for you.
Yes.
So don't let this be like the thing that writes you off. But it's always a bummer when that happens, especially when it's been like, okay, I've been wearing it for a little bit and then like I'll have lunch and I'll start to feel it. I'm like, no, no, it was so nice.
Why is it moving? Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've kept you for a long time now, but we did want to talk about a little bit about studies.
Yes.
I love reading myself. And I was kind of involved in the creation of some terrible studies, really bad, disorganized. The data was not good. And I ended up not even trying to publish them because I was disappointed in the entire thing.
But, wow.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Biased. Yeah, not good. So
yeah.
I kind of see how creating a good study is really, really hard.
It is extremely difficult,
yeah.
I think. And it's hard. I think that when you're on like cosmetics, it's hard to find good ones.
Yes.
Because the like motivation to do a really well-designed, like peer-reviewed, anything like that sort of study is just not really there for the industry at all. Because I mean, I saw people talking about this recently, talking about different peptides. It's like, oh, we like can't trust peptides because they're too big to get into the skin. There's no good evidence for them. I'm like, well, that's not true because the suppliers who make the peptides we'll put them through some kind of claims testing to say, okay, this does what it says that it's going to do. And normally it's a combination of, you know, like in vitro testing, like on, you know, cell explants or on cells in the dish or whatever. And then some kind of clinical testing on people, which granted can have terrible study designs. And I'm not going to say that they're all completely great, but they've gone through some degree to try and say that, oh, this has worked. But I think that even if you have a peptide or whatever that has gone through studies, if the final product doesn't have a study behind it, then like it doesn't quite correlate one-to-one. So I think in a perfect world, having some kind of substantiation for the final product is like the most important thing. That's what you're going to use at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, brands saying, oh, it's an independent clinical study, so like they have no skin in the game would be like the ideal situation. But you're probably going to see that more with smaller brands than like bigger brands, like a L'Oreal or whatever, because they have the facilities to be able to run their own study.
Yeah.
And like, they've got great science. They're doing all these great things. And so then it's like, well, because it was funded by this company, does that mean that it's not good? Not necessarily, but you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, so biased.
It's really, really hard to do that. And unless you have like an independent group that's going to come in and see, okay, here's how well this works on the skin, whatever, then you're just going to have to trust it, try it for yourself, see if it works for you. Because even if a product has gone through a really good clinical study, that doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Like, they've done the best that they can. Like, I've tried, like, pigmentation products that were so expensive, had such great clinicals, but didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we see those, proved in clinical trials on brands advertising, can we trust that? But at all?
I think that you should trust it, but again, take it with a grain of salt. I think that because unless they've explained to you sort of how that trial was run, again, you don't know how the trial was run. But additionally, because, you know, it's so dependent on who the people who were involved in the study and whatever your particular issues are going to modify how well that product will work for you. It's not a guarantee of this thing will work.
Yeah.
I think it just says, okay, this brand is doing the best that they can to show that their products work. And I feel like that's as good as they can do. Yeah.
But then I think,
so yeah,
brands who can afford to do those tests doesn't mean that the brands who can't afford to do those tests aren't as good. The products might be just as good.
100%. And that's something that that I always try and like highlight. And I talked on a podcast I did a while ago was they asked me, oh, should I only be looking for skincare that's been through clinical trials?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
And I think that there's so much more that goes into skincare than like the clinicals and the evidence. There's so much about the experience. And there are really small brands, like you said, who make beautiful products that work really, really well, but they just don't have the money to spend, you know, 50, 60, 80,000 on a clinical study. So it's just not in their ability, but the products still work really, really well.
Yeah.
So definitely it is a nice thing to have. Yeah. And I think that for some claims, I would love for that to be like the standard, to have this like standard clinical trial because Korea has that.
Yeah.
Where you'll have like certain claims that you have to go through this specific clinical study to be able to make that claim, like anti-wrinkle or brightening. There's a very specific study that you have to go through to make those claims.
Wow,
but
Korea.
Yeah, they've got that down, which I think is really great. But there's so many great products, so many great like small brands, and by limiting yourself to just the things that have the money to go through clinical trials, I think that really like limits your selection of brands a lot, because you're basically limited to, you know, L'Oreal, the Eucerin brands, you know, Cetaphil, like these big companies that have a whole bunch of money, Medicaid and things like that. So
So what studies did did you not publish then?
Did I not publish? there was one, and I feel really bad. What the consultant I was working under just passed me this, said, write this up. It's a whitening trial from Colgate.
Oh, right.
Okay. And I was like, well, I don't want to put my name to that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Did you start asking him loads of annoying questions? And he's like, I wish I'd just given this to somebody
else.
No,
I felt really guilty, and then I never mentioned it. He never mentioned it, and it didn't happen.
There we are. That's how British people deal with conflict. Passive-aggressive.
I didn't talk about it.
I don't want to do it, but I don't want to say anything. Yeah, there was loads of things I've just been partially involved with that were shit.
And then you just delete your name off it and say, not, that was not Nia Patton. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I know you love Eucerin because we've the aforementioned Eucerin.
Yeah.
And on your video with Nadine, you guys were talking about La Roche-Posay, which I used once ages ago and I did love. Mm. And I don't know why I didn't repurchase it. I kind of think, was there something about the smell of it?
I don't know. It used to give me acne.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So do you like La Roche-Posay, and which would be your favorite then between Eucerin and that?
I am going to say Eucerin.
Yeah.
Mm,
but only because I think that, you know, when you're looking at, like, great example, like when I was in Boots looking at all the different La Roche-Posay sunscreens and all the different Eucerin sunscreens, with La Roche-Posay, great innovation. You know, they come out with like this brand new filter that has all this protection. I feel like they're doing lots of great things on the research side. But a lot of things from them are just very heavy, very shiny.
Okay. Yes.
Which is just not my favorite. But with the fluid and the cream and all the kids stuff, like everything's pretty much fairly shiny, greasy, dewy, which is fine if you have dry skin. But with Eucerin, I think that you have options across the board. Like you have like the oil control, which is more mattifying. You've got the age defense, which is definitely more hydrating. The pigment control, which is more natural. Like you've got a whole bunch of different options in terms of the finishes and types of products with Eucerin, at least outside of the U.S. In the U.S., honestly, still Eucerin, because the sunscreens that the Roche-Posay has here are frustratingly bad.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oh, so no. It's such a bummer because, you know, we don't have access to as many filters, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, is it two totally different groups developing these sunscreens? Because these are just... Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure it is to different groups who are in development. But yeah, like a lot of the, like they're all the mineral ones are obviously casty, but even the chemical ones, chemical in big scare quotes, because they're all chemical.
Sure.
But even those, because they put so much like mattifying agents, these are these powders that can go in to make the formulas feel less greasy and shiny.
Okay.
They're also white powders. And okay. So they can also leave a white cast. Right. So trying like a chemical sunscreen that leaves a white cast makes me very angry.
Cool.
Because like, this is the one thing. It's the one thing.
Yeah.
But the Eucerin formulas here, still more on the heavy, greasy, shiny side, like a lot of U.S. sunscreens, but yeah. Transparent for the most part. But yeah, for me, it's going to be Eucerin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. Are you enjoying Indian sunscreens at the moment? Because they're having a real...
Yeah, I think that's been like a really interesting journey for me, because I feel like there aren't as many popular retailers for Indian sunscreen. So I bought a ton recently. Some of them definitely have a fragrance that would knock your socks off.
Seriously.
Like, so, just some of them do.
Oh, have you from that site that was...
Yeah, and some from Amazon as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Sheath?
Yes, yeah. Dr. Chef's. I tried that sunscreen. I think that one was okay, from what I remember. But there were some other ones from some smaller brands that I... As soon as I opened the tube, I was like, this is strong. It was a lot. It was so floral. No. It was so heavy. I'm just like, I will put this on.
Yeah.
And then I have to immediately take it off.
No, I'm going to hate them.
Oh, I'll take them. Don't worry. I'll swap them for some good non-scented ones from the shop. That's fine.
So yeah, that was frustrating. But yeah, I found like a lot of really, really nice ones. And it's interesting because a lot of them, you know, with when they have like the UVA protection on there, a lot of them are PA3+ instead of PA4+. And what someone had told me was because they added the 4+ relatively recently to have like that, and just haven't gone through and updated all of the packaging for these products. I have no idea I have no idea how true this is. This with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But because I was so curious, I was like, why are all of these PA3+? So strange.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how true that is. But yeah, definitely have found some ones that I really, really like.
They follow the Asian you know, notation of UVA.
Yeah. For me, it's like a PA system is what I'll see mostly with Asian products. You know, that you all have the UVA circle that's in the UK and Europe and all there. And then for Australia, like their standard is the UVA circle, where like the UVA protection is like at least a third of the SPF. And that's like their standard for broad spectrum in Australia. Like they have probably the strictest the most stringent regulations in Australia. The formulas are not always as elegant,
right?
But the protection is always there. Like they've got like, this is SPF 50+, water resistant for 4 hours. I was like, this is crazy. But when you remember that, you know, you're under the black, all the heat that they have to deal with.
Really,
I totally understand.
The sun in Australia is terrifying. I've been spent a while
really
there. Yeah. It was, oh God, yeah. There was, you know, people with sun damage in their teens.
Oh.
Freckles, yeah. I went on a boat trip and this poor young lady working on this boat was a teenager.
Oh my God.
She had, I was like, oh no, she's not wearing sunscreen.
But they're sort of public service and advertising, and it's terrifying, isn't it? Have you been to Australia, Julian?
No, I have not been, but I really want to go because I have so many people who I know there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen some of their advertising. Yes. It's definitely really intense.
I love
how hard they go. Yeah, which I think is nice, especially there. Because I think that they've like banned tanning beds in Australia. Like
good.
They really kind of go hard. Like even with like their regulations talking about sunscreens, like their limitations on what like content creators can do on Instagram because
really
of how
tight.
Strict
yeah.
those regulations are, which I know has some good and bad parts with like you being able to recommend sunscreens. But like, if the overall like goal is to be to like have people take this seriously and not have their opinions be based on being paid by a brand or whatever. So for those things, I understand it. But yeah, the Australian companies that I've like seen and some that I've worked with, it's like, okay, y'all are going hard.
Yeah. So that means that they don't have any of those like hippie ladies selling sun balms on Etsy then in Australia. That must be banned. Aren't they lucky?
Oh my God.
I remember when someone DM'd me and asked me, it's just like, oh, I saw this recipe that someone recommends, you know, for sunscreen, with some coconut oil and some zinc oxide. And I was like,
shoot me now.
Please,
oh my God.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
No. I feel like I haven't seen a lot of those guys.
Oh, I don't look for stuff like that. Yeah. Oh my God.
And lucky for y'all.
I don't know where you guys stand in the States on sunbeds as well, but there's literally a sun booth on every street corner, it seems, in the UK. It's
really
crazy. Yeah. It's really bad. Still really bad.
I don't think it's as bad, at least here where I am. I know like in other places it's more popular, like Florida is really popular. Yeah. When it's a part of the whole like kind of beachy sort of culture to have like a nice healthy tan.
Yes.
Things like that, which is just not great. Oh. But yeah, it's not my favorite thing, but I don't think it's as big here. But good. I think that like self tanner, I'm seeing sort of get more popular, which I think is great.
Yeah.
But
that's hugely popular here, isn't
it? Self-tan. Everyone wants to be brown in Wales.
That's because we get no sun here. Yeah. Let's face it. We don't have four seasons.
We've got to let you go, haven't we?
You're fine.
Oh, thank you so much. I think we asked all the... Well, no, I'd say we asked all the questions. I could probably ask you another hour and a half's worth of questions, but that's not...
You'd be like, can I go, please?
Yeah, please. I need the bathroom. Please let me go. But yeah, it was so lovely to have you and spare your time, because I know you're really busy and, you know... We really did. And I want to... tell all of our listeners really to check out Julian's amazing sunscreen database.
Yeah.
It's so good. How many sunscreens have you got there? Is it the 300?
So I just added a bunch of lip balms today. if you've been watching my stories, people have asked me, oh, when are you going to add more lip balms? I am notoriously terrible with adding lip balms because I'll put them on and then I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
I'll forget to log them. So I am now at 377.
Congratulations.
That are on the database. Yeah, I just put a bunch of lip balms on. I put on the one from Hello Sunday, the one from Ultra Sun.
Awesome.
Well done.
So we follow
Julian at Scamander14, isn't it, on Instagram?
Yes, Instagram. I'm on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, you
are. I am not on TikTok.
You will be
only
soon,
because I don't consume content on TikTok.
I love TikTok.
I don't know. I just have not gotten super into it yet. I have tons of people who've been like, Julian, you gotta get on TikTok. Brilliant. And it's like one more platform.
Another one. My favorite.
I've got to say, it's actually my favorite.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would say that.
Really?
Yeah. Because we are women in our 40s. I didn't think it would be for us.
I know. I'm not doing dancing. I'm not going to dance.
I'm not going to make cringy content with my partner.
I just did a video and it was just like 2 minutes me talking, blah, 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 blah. And then like tens of thousands of views.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. No effort. I didn't look nice.
Super organic.
My hair was
it?
Whatever. I was wearing whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And like, you can, there's lots of experts on there that are, you know, creating content. And I love that.
Yes.
And you can see it really quickly.
Yes.
And learn a lot quickly. It's really quite good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of brands are now just trying to figure out TikTok.
Okay.
To try and figure out what they should do. And I know that some brands have gone a very interesting routes. Like I know that one of my friends wrote an article about CeraVe's kind of marketing strategy on TikTok. And they've had some really weird ads on there. Yeah, just like the work with content creators who do sort of very weird comedy, kind of cringy content.
What?
But it's sponsored by CeraVe. It'll get millions of views and it'll be very profitable. But it's just so very odd because they're such like a, oh, we're in the drugstore and that's it. So it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's really, I got to check that out.
That's great.
Yeah.
How fascinating.
Yeah, it's definitely far less
sort of,
yeah.
Instagram's always like the
curated.
Nice,
yes.
Nice photos. It? Everything looks nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's less stiff, it feels like. And I love it.
That's where I feel like TikTok is where you put the outtakes of reels that you post to Instagram.
Yes.
And they get far more.
Yeah. You get more attention.
Engagement. Yeah.
For looking really stupid strange. And saying stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get into it and like just sort of see like, am I going to be the person who is like, look, it's my same videos as I do on Instagram, but on TikTok, I'm going to create TikTok exclusive content.
Yeah,
we will see. It's something that I want to get into, but
amazing.
I gotta like when
fly.
Like work calms down, I can dive in.
Yes, I bet you will now head first. That's it now.
You're gonna love it. It's fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
I've loved it.
And I'll send you some more glow screen sun gel if you're out.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah, if you need anything, give us a shout. We'll send it over.
Fantastic. Yeah, there are definitely some things that I can only get like when I'm in the UK that now I know who I can ping.
Oh, yeah, but please just, do. Like, honestly,
give us
please
a shout.
Do.
Because we will be asking you for any American sunscreen. Yeah. Sorry. But.
Please don't. Please don't. There's nothing here worth sending. Like, you will have access to all of the best.
Oh, bless you. Oh. All right, we're going to say goodbye, sadly.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank
Thanks
you so much for
listening.
Having me.
Thank you.
Take care, Julian.
Bye.
Lovely to
all right,
see
bye.
You.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.